You know, I've shared this many times that I love history. And my prayer is that when I finish this message, you'll be encouraged, okay? How many have often felt you could use a little bit more encouragement in your life? Yeah? Yeah, okay. Six of us feel we need more encouragement in our lives. I think all of us, there are times when we're a little on the low side. We need to be lifted up. We need to be encouraged. We need to be given hope to carry on, follow through, stay the course. And it's my prayer that this sermon will do that for you this morning and for me. But speaking of history, recently there was a documentary on TV about the Roanoke Island Lost Colony. Did anybody see that? It's a very interesting part of history. I've followed it before, not just because of this documentary, but it is believed that they were the first colony to come from Europe to North America, to what we now know as America. I am of Italian descent. I don't celebrate Columbus Day, and the Italian is going to hate me for this, because I don't believe he discovered anything. I think there were Native Americans living here already when he arrived. So I believe they actually discovered Columbus. It's just a holiday that I don't celebrate. But anyhow, it is believed that this colony settled here even before the Jamestown colony. So it was like in the 1580s when they arrived. But as the story goes, England sent several military expeditions to this part of the world. And after several missions and journeys here, they felt that they could now inhabit the land. And that's when they started bringing their families. So you had men, women, and children participating and building up this colony, which has now become known as the Lost Colony of Roanoke Island. However, in the 1580s, they vanished without a trace. And I think that's what historians and archaeologists and other people of science are trying to figure out what happened. It's not known if they were massacred by Native Americans or if they died because of diseases or even possibly they assimilated into the life of a Native American tribe that was in that part of our country. But future voyages could not find a trace of them. And I think that's what this documentary was trying to do, to find these traces of maybe what had happened to them. They were in need of supplies. And where am I going with this? They ran out of supplies. They needed help. And so John White, who was the governor of this colony, decides to travel back to England to get these supplies and bring them back to the colony. And so he leaves with the promise that he would return. But when he got to England, war broke out with Spain, and it put everything on hold. But then it got even worse because Queen Elizabeth, and no, not the Queen Elizabeth today, she was not back in the 1580s, but Queen Elizabeth, her reign was taken over by another queen who was Mary, Queen of Scots, who didn't particularly like Englishmen. And so she didn't support it, and they never made it back with the supplies needed. And when they did return, this colony was lost. They were actually abandoned. Think about that. Abandoned. Left to fend for themselves, hoping every single day that they would see a ship on the horizon that would be Governor White returning with the promises of the supplies that he said he would bring back, but that help never came. Abandoned. You know, that if you think about the word abandon in the English language, it has a shocking effect on us. There's a sense of negativity attached to it. There's a sense of quietness that's disturbed to be abandoned. When you think about like a parent abandoning a child or a husband abandoning a wife or a wife abandoning a husband, however you want to describe it, it's an unsettling word when an individual or a community, for that matter, is abandoned. But unlike the colonists of the lost colony of Roanoke Island, who were abandoned in the 1580s, on this Pentecost Sunday, we are reminded of the promise of God, who said he would never abandon us. He would never leave us nor forsake us. He would never leave us alone. That's what Pentecost Sunday reminds us of, is that the Spirit of God is always present, always among us, and that Spirit would never leave us. Amen. You know, in the book of Joshua, I love Joshua. You know, he's the guy that said, as for me and my house. You know, I mean, he took a stand for God. And in the very first chapter, God speaks to the people of Israel and promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then again, we see it again in the book of Hebrews, where it says again that God will not forsake us in chapter 13, verse 5. So in both the Hebrew scriptures and in the New Testament, God continues this promise to say that God will never abandon us, never forsake us, never leave us alone. And we need to be reminded of that this morning. Because I want to tell you something, and I know all of you, except for the little ones, or maybe a little one in the crib with a dirty diaper might feel abandoned for a while. But I think all of us have gone through a season where we felt alone. Nobody understood what we were going through. It was hard times. It was a dark place. A lot of weight on our shoulders, heaviness. And we might have felt like nobody understands, nobody's around, nobody's there for me. I think all of us have been there one time or the other, I'm sure. But God wants us to remind us you're never alone, even if you're alone apart from other individuals. You're never forsaken. I looked up the word forsake in the Hebrew, and it says forsake, transliterated into English from the Hebrew, means to loosen. And loosen means, you know, to, you're holding on to something, you just let it go. To loosen, to relinquish, to leave, to remove your hand. I had a funny situation yesterday. We went to our granddaughter's soccer game in Babylon, and my daughter's father-in-law is exactly my age, so we just hang out together. We're buddies. He's from Rochester. So whenever I see him, I like chatting with him, and he said to me, Chuck, do you feel like they're treating us like kids now? Like they want to make sure we're okay, to tie our shoes right, and... He said, I went with my son and we were crossing the street and he held my elbow as we were crossing the street. Like I was five. And I looked at him, I said, yes. Yes, the tables have turned. The holding of the hand is now in reverse and we become the children. When it's used in the New Testament Greek, the word forsaken means to be left behind or to be deserted. Sort of like the lost colony of Roanoke. They were basically deserted. Now, I'm not blaming Governor John White. There were political reasons and wars and certain situations where he couldn't get back. But nevertheless, the colony was deserted. So in our text this morning that Kathy read, the Apostle Paul tells us that no matter what his circumstances might have been, and let me tell you, the Apostle Paul went through a lot of stuff, okay? I could give you a list of stuff, shipwrecked and stoned and all kinds of things where he had and he didn't have. But he says, in all circumstances, I have learned to be content. And I want to tell you something, when you could live a life when you're content, that's a beautiful place to reside. Amen? I mean, when we're not content, we're honorary and nobody wants to be around us. And Paul says it doesn't matter. Why? because he says it ended with the last verse that Kathy read from Philippians. He says, why? Because I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. He's my hope. He's from where my strength comes from. He's the one that gives me my calm and my peace in the midst of the storm. Wow, that's powerful. And I believe on this Pentecost Sunday, it's very appropriate to talk about the strength and the power that and the calm that we receive from the one Jesus promised to send, and that one was the person, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. And even I said, it's a person. That's wrong. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity of God, the triune God. So what is Pentecost anyway? When we think about Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost was held 50 days after the Passover feast. Now, let me give you a little background. You remember that it was Passover where Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper, which we'll be doing in a little while. It's also during the Passover festival that Jesus was arrested and beaten and incarcerated and eventually crucified and put to death on the cross. It was also known as the Festival of Weeks. And by the way, it's something for us to be reminded of. The Festival of Weeks was a festival where people showed their gratitude and their thankfulness for God's provision in their life by the harvest coming every year and God providing for God's people. And so it was sort of like our Thanksgiving here in America. It was a feast of Thanksgiving. And so Jesus was crucified at the Passover time, right? And he ascends to be with the Father on the 40th day. He tells his disciples to go back to the, stay in Jerusalem, go back to the upper room and wait. And 10 days later, on Pentecost and the Feast of Weeks, that's 50 days, the Holy Spirit falls upon the disciples in the upper room, and we know what happens. But before the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples, let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which reads, Jesus instructed his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. He's telling them that you're not going to stay in Jerusalem. You're going to impact the world on my behalf when the Holy Spirit falls upon you. But wait, he tells them. And after he said that, he's taken up before their very eyes. He ascends into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. But before that, Jesus said in verse 5, listen to this, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of Protestants in the mainline churches think only the Pentecostals can enjoy the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you something. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, was full of the Holy Spirit. He was a little guy, but he was a powerhouse. And without the Spirit of God, you might as well close the doors of this place because it's nothing but an empty room. The Spirit of God is here today. I would hope that the Spirit of God is on me right now as I bring forth this message. This isn't me. Folks, I want to tell you, when I was growing up, I used to stutter, just like Moses. And when God called me into the ministry, I said, you got to be kidding me. It's going to take me 2 hours to finish my message. And the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to do things that you can never do on your own. So what was the promise that Jesus spoke of? Well, if you go to look at Luke chapter 24, we see Jesus appeared in the resurrected form before his disciples, and he tells them in verse 49, he says, I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed. Listen to that, clothed with power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I love this about what Jesus promised, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now jump to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and that's what we're celebrating today, the birth of the church. Listen what it says. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And those of you coming with us to Israel in February, we will go up in the upper room and we'll stand on the spot where it's believed this took place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon their heads. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wow! Wouldn't that be cool if that happened in church today? All of us started just going off in the Spirit. And let me tell you something, they went off so far that the people looking on thought they were hitting the juice. They thought they were drunk. Peter says, you know what time of the day it is? We haven't had any spirits to drink. We drank of the Holy Spirit. And they were filled. And they received power from on high. This is the same Spirit that sustained Paul in our main text this morning that was recently read. If Paul could contemporize this statement, this is what he would say. Why are we living on AA batteries when we could be living on a nuclear power plant? Why? Why do we do that? Why do we fizzle out? Maybe it's because so many times, I'm guilty of this, we do it in our own power. We try to accomplish ministry and do the works of the ministry in our own strength, our own wisdom, our own resources, our own power, and we fizzle out. And I was thinking, how many animal lovers do we have here today? Just raise your hand, okay? I love animals. I think anybody who abuses an animal is evil because animals are so trusting. Well, there's one animal I've never met, but I'll tell you what I was always impressed with is the cheetah. It's the fastest animal on the face of the earth. Do you know that a cheetah on the African plains can actually get up to 70 miles an hour? My motorcycle can't even do 70 miles an hour. Yes, it can. I'm one of the old guys that drives. Those young guys that ride around those crazy bikes, I'm one of those old guys that just sits back. But a cheetah will take off from 0 to 70, but it's got to catch its prey quickly. Do you know why? Disproportionately, it has a very small heart for its big body. And therefore, it runs out of juice. And if it doesn't catch its prey right away, when it sprints from 0 to 70, it has to back off and lay down and pant and rest, because the heart does not have the capacity, and it fizzles out. And I thought to myself, sometimes we are cheetah Christians. We run off, and we start something, we're so excited, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that for the Lord, and all of a sudden we fizzle out because we just don't rely on the strength and the power source, which is the Holy Spirit. We start fast, we start hard, but we don't have the staying power. Paul was always talking about the staying power. He was always talking about running the good race, fighting the good fight, staying the course. Don't give up. Stay in the race. And what was he talking about? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm a boxing fan, and I love the UFC, and there was a great fight last night, by the way, but I'm not going to talk about that because my wife hates it. But I have seen flashy fighters or UFC fighters get in there and they dance around, they throw kicks around, they go flying off the cage, and they just look like unbelievable, and in the second round they get knocked out. They start off with a flash and they wind up getting knocked out in the second round. They fizzled out. And God is telling us this morning, He doesn't want us to get knocked out in the fight and in the course and in the ministry that God's given us. And by the way, don't look at me as the only minister in this church. Look at each other, because you are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? You are. I know some of you say, me? Yes, you. You are ministers of the gospel just as much as I am. I've been called to pastor and shepherd, but all of us have been called into the works of the ministry, and we need the Holy Spirit to sustain us. So in conclusion, let me just say what I believe the Scripture says that we need, why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to carry out extraordinary tasks. Extraordinary tasks that the human cannot carry out. And so it gives that sustaining power, that wisdom, that power we need to do the works of the ministry and be successful on His behalf. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand God's Word. It says in the Bible in Luke 24:45 that, and let me just give you a little advice on this. Before you start reading the Bible, ask God to have the Holy Spirit bring revelation to what you're reading. And things will come off that page that you would have missed unless you had the discernment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to discern false teaching. And let me tell you, I don't put down anybody's ministries, but there are false teachings out there. There are ministers that are preaching gospels. You know, I'm sorry, I believe God wants us to prosper, but I do not believe that you can walk out of here, go in the parking lot across the street, put your hand on a Mercedes and claim that car. I'm sorry, just don't buy that. And I know preachers are preaching that message. Name it and claim it. And I didn't see Jesus. Jesus walked everywhere He went. But the Holy Spirit will help you discern what's true and what's not true. And we need that. The Holy Spirit will give us peace. How many here this morning could use a little bit more peace in your life? Amen? I can. How many of you could use a little bit more comfort in your life? Right? How many like when somebody comes and comforts you? I love that. I've told you before, when my wife comes behind me, and she you need to do it more, though, but she'll come and hold me, and I swear if I had a tail, that tail is doing this. You see, because we all want to be loved. You do it all the time. You're in church. I get a lot of love from my wife. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is we were created to be in relationship. And the Holy Spirit will bring us that peace and that comfort, especially in the middle of the storm. And I know some of you today, and I don't know your stories, but God does. Some of you are going through a storm right now in your life. Some of you've got a lot on your plate. Some of you are navigating through some troubled waters that almost seem to overpower you and turn you upside down and capsize your ship. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit will bring you into calm waters. Trust in the Lord in all your ways, and He'll make your path straight. I believe that with all my heart. He will give you the power that you need to navigate through these troubled times. The Holy Spirit helps us speak for Jesus. Some of you are afraid to witness to coworkers because you're afraid they're going to ask you a biblical question and you're not going to have the answer. Well, let me tell you something. Just show the love of Jesus. They want to see that more than they do you quoting Scripture to them. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be students of the Bible, but I will tell you the Bible says that God will give you the words that you need in that moment to witness to somebody else about the Christ who lives in you. And I think that's so true, and it's been in my own life. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our life. God wants us to be fruit bearers. You understand that? And if you look at Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, it says that we should have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and get this one, especially the guys, self-control.
Lord have mercy.
Patience. Uh-oh, He's messing with me now. That's the fruit of the Spirit. People should see that in us when we're on the checkout line at Stop and Shop. They should see that in us, in our own families, with our children and grandchildren, with our wives and our husbands. They should see this fruit operating. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for us. And I will tell you, the Holy Spirit, and this is not this church, it's the Lutherans that do this. I'm only kidding. I'm friends with the Lutheran pastor. But I want to say this, is that nothing grieves the Holy Spirit more when there's disunity in the body of Christ. Have you ever been in the middle of that mess? Every church has it. We don't have it, though. But I want to tell you something. When there's disunity and people are not getting along, It grieves the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants us to get along because we're family. And we're not to hurt one another. We're to lift one another up. We're to be cooperative with each other. Bob, you're a character like that. I notice when people start to complain a little bit, you'll come in and say, "Praise the Lord. Come on, man. God loves you, and so do I." And you have that gift, and I've seen it in operation. And I want to tell you, these attributes of the Holy Spirit could go on and on and on, but we'll have the power, we'll have the infilling of His presence, we'll be anointed, we'll be able to be those witnesses in Jerusalem. And by the way, for Jerusalem is Patchogue, and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. We're given the Holy Spirit for that purpose. For personal comfort, yes. For personal peace, yes. But it also empowers us so that we could go out and offer that peace and comfort to a world that's so broken outside the walls of this church. You bump into broken people every day. I know you do. And sometimes you and I are broken. And we need to be comforted in love. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that, my friends. You know, I had so much more to say, but I'm not. And I just want to say this in closing. Sometimes the Holy Spirit tells the pastor to shut up. And I feel the Holy Spirit telling me that right now. Somebody said, "Amen, that's not right." You hurt the pastor with that one. Only kidding. I love it. But I want to just say to you that be mindful that the same Spirit of God that fell on the upper room some 2,000 years ago and anointed those disciples to do the works of the ministry, that same Holy Spirit is here in this room on this Pentecost Sunday. And it changed the lives of the disciples. They were never the same from that moment on. Peter, who was hiding in the upper room, shaking in his boots, went out the door and witnessed to thousands, and they came to Christ and they were baptized in Jerusalem. That same Spirit that motivated and changed and inspired and encouraged and catapulted those disciples on that Pentecost Sunday is the same Holy Spirit that could change us too. You want to be changed today? Open up to the Spirit of God. Say, "Spirit of the living God, shape me, mold me, change me, use me. I'm available and I'm open. Thy will be done, not mine." And so, Father, I just pray on this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, when we recognize the third person of the Trinity, that same Spirit that fell upon those disciples and caused them to be motivated to go out and turn the world upside down, may we be so motivated to turn our world upside down, to reach Patchogue and the surrounding communities, that people may know the truth and the truth will set them free. Father, teach us how to love people, to calm their fears, to give them hope when things seem hopeless, to give them peace when there's unrest in their lives, to give them strength when they want to drop out of the race and give up, to give them love when they don't feel loved. Use us, Lord, in that regard. By the indwelling and the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.